Turn in your Bibles to John, chapter number 21. John 21. We'll look at the first six verses there. If you'll read responsively with me, I'll start there at the verse 1. John chapter number 21. Stand with me, please. And I'll begin John 21, verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were no to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Let's pray. Father, again, now, Lord, we come and we're asking that you'd please be at the service. Lord, please be with our preacher as he preaches. Father, I pray that you speak to my heart. Lord, thank you so much for all that we heard last week and, Lord, how you spoke to our hearts. But, Lord, come and meet with us again tonight, please, and we'll thank you for it. Be with the special music. Prepare our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Lord, you know.
Song kind of went along with your testimony, Brother Johnson. That was good, ladies. Thank you so very much. Three things I want to say to you. I didn't know that Marty and Heather had their baby this past Friday and had a little baby girl, and everything's okay and everything's fine. So we're glad about that, and congratulations. We'll, of course, see the little girl here in a couple of weeks when he comes to get ordained here. Tuesday, the Supreme Court in the United States over in Washington, D.C. will hear arguments concerning the definition of marriage, if it's between man and a woman or between two men or whatever, two women. and they will not render a decision. I saw in the news headlines yesterday on the internet, they will not render a decision, I believe, until somebody said the last week of June, because such a controversial thing, they're going to render the decision right before they go on summer break. If you think about it, on Tuesday, wouldn't hurt to pray and ask God to help the people that will be arguing for the biblical definition of marriage in front of the Supreme Court. Did you hear about the Oregon couple that was fined $135,000 because they would not make a cake for two lesbians' wedding ceremony? They refused. A Christian man has a business, legitimate business, and would not make a cake. I believe it was either cakes or flowers. I think it was a bakery. And they fined them $135,000 because it's all under the issue of civil rights. And so, folks, there's a real war. There's a real war in this country. So if you think about it Tuesday, you really ought to pray. We ought to pray and ask God to help the people that will be arguing for the definition, the biblical definition of marriage. And then I also want to be missionary-minded tonight. I do know that Brother Robbie Robideau and his wife and children are safe after the earthquake in Nepal. If you read about that, 7.8 on the Richter scale. And they had an aftershock this morning that was like 6.8. Over 2,500 people are dead, known dead now. And Robbie and his wife are right outside Kathmandu. And they felt it very strongly, but they are safe. Their house is safe. Their little church is safe. And as far as they know, their people are safe. Now we have Corey McTague in the same area. And I don't know, haven't heard anything about Corey. I thought he was on furlough, and he may be. But that's just, I was glad to hear that Robbie and his wife were safe over there after that earthquake. So just some things. Now, listen, you've heard a lot of preaching this week, and we had a testimony tonight from a good missionary brother. This is probably, this has the potential to be the shortest message I've ever preached in this pulpit. I probably have just cursed it right now, okay? I probably just jinxed it. It'd probably be the longest one I ever preached. But no, don't worry about that. But I have one thought for you tonight. That's it. One thought for you. It's not dynamic. It's not bombastic. But I want to give it to you. I want to speak to you. Just give you this. Out of this passage, he's already got what you're looking for. He's already got what you're looking for. Let's pray together. Lord, help me tonight be a blessing to these people. And I know they've been in church days on end and several days in a row. If they were here, they were message after message after message. And they've been faithful today. And I know many are tired. It's a good tired. But Lord, they're weary. And I sense that. I pray that you'll help me be an encouragement to them tonight. And thank you for the privilege to speak to these people and the precious folks. And help me to be a blessing. I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. When I lived in Iowa, Brother Jim Stapps, he stops in here once in a while with his wife, Jackie. And his first wife, when I was there, Julie died of cancer. And he was since remarried to a lady named Jackie. They'll come in and visit for a service when they're in the air, when he's in the area working. Jim and I did a lot of things outdoors together. He was the one that taught me how to run a trap line. And I really enjoyed that. Just kind of did that just for some exercise and for some, you know, something different. And I remember when he said to me, he called me one time and said, hey, he said, you think you'd break away a little few hours to go down on the Mississippi River? My brother is out of town and I need to run his fish nets. His brother was a commercial fisherman on the Mississippi River. And I said, yeah, I'd enjoy doing that. I don't think Brother Brown would mind. So I went with Jim and we went down the Mississippi River and put the boat into the river and went out on the river. And his brother had these little buoys, markers in the water. And we'd pull up to a buoy and we'd get in the back of that boat and we'd pull the fish in, pull the nets in. And brother, you can't believe all the different kinds of fish that come into a net out there in the Mississippi River. Most of them we threw back, just junky old fish, but some of them we kept. And I don't forget, we did that for an hour, hour and a half or so, and ran nets, and he had some traps. And but I spent that time out there on the boat with Jim running his brother's commercial fish line. Now, it's interesting to me that when Jesus first started out in his public ministry, you got Peter and Andrew and James and John, and they were all, four of them were commercial fishermen. They made their living catching fish. And Jesus was walking one day by the Sea of Galilee. This is back earlier in his public ministry, at the very beginning of it, walking by the Sea of Galilee. And he saw Peter and Andrew. They were brothers. He saw Peter and Andrew out fishing. And he said to them in Matthew 4:19, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And they followed the Lord Jesus. He went a little bit further, the Bible says, and he saw James and John. They were brothers. They were the sons of Zebedee. And the Bible says they were mending their nets. And so evidently they'd been out for the early morning or the evening catch. And the next morning they were mending their nets and working on their nets and their equipment, taking care of it. And Jesus passed by and he said to them, "Follow me." And they did. And so in one day, Peter and Andrew and James and John, four fishermen, the Lord Jesus said to them, "Four commercial fishermen, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. For 3.5 years, they followed him. They saw some amazing things. They saw him work unbelievable miracles. They heard him teach. They heard him preach. They saw him do these unbelievable things to help people. And they saw along the way, they saw many other people follow the Lord Jesus. Then the crucifixion came. Jesus was wrongly arrested. He was illegally tried. He was found guilty and he was sentenced to be crucified. And at that point, the disciples began to scatter. You know what happened to Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times. The final denial with a curse and a swearing and obviously language that wasn't appropriate. "I know not the man." And then the cock crew. And he went out and wept bitterly. Andrew and James, I'm not sure what happened to them. The Bible doesn't say what happened to Andrew and James, other than we know they didn't end up at the cross. John went to the cross. He was the only disciple that went to the cross. He was standing at the cross at the scene of the crucifixion. He's standing out there with Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, Jesus spoke from the cross and he said, "A woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." And the Bible says from that time, John took Mary into his house and cared for her. I personally, I don't know if I can make a definitive argument here, but I believe that as the Bible reads, it was that John took Mary, the mother of Jesus, right then and led her away from the scene of the crucifixion, possibly so that she wouldn't have to watch her son bleed and die on the cross. So Peter was gone. James and Andrew were gone. We know that. John was there and then he left with the mother of Jesus. Then you have the resurrection after he was buried. And you know that Peter and John ran to the empty tomb and here Jesus had risen and Peter hit rock bottom. He hit rock bottom. He had followed Jesus and followed him faithfully. But now he had denied Jesus. He had forsaken Jesus. And now Jesus was alive. And after seeing that empty tomb, he was a failure. It was hard. It was difficult. He had failed. He hit rock bottom. A few days later, Peter was with Thomas and Nathanael and James and John and 2 other disciples. And Peter says to them in the text that we read a minute ago, "I go a fishing." And the other 6 said, "We're going to." Now, what Peter meant was, "I'm done. I'm done." Following Jesus hadn't been real easy toward the end. Following Jesus had not been real comfortable toward the end. Following Jesus had not been real popular toward the end. And then Peter had suffered a real personal failure. And so he said, "That's it. It's time for me to be done. I'm going back to fishing for fish for a living. I'm done following Jesus." You know the story. So they went to fishing. They're on the Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias. And in verse number 3, after they fished all night, the Bible says that night they caught nothing. Now, folks, don't you think that's a tad bit unusual? You know, for commercial fishermen, I remember pulling those nets in with Jim Stats, and not all the fish were keepers, but there was fish in those nets. Most of them got thrown back into the Mississippi River. A few of them got put in the live well where they were taken and sold, I guess, somewhere. I don't know what Jim did with them after that. But it's a little bit unusual for commercial fishermen to fish all night long and catch nothing. Nothing. I mean, they've thrown the nets out and brought them in. They don't have the technology and the automation that Jim had on that boat and that these commercial fishermen have today. So they're manually throwing those nets out and bringing those nets in, throwing those nets out and bringing those nets in, and cast after cast after cast, working and laboring and toiling, casting and casting. And every time they pull it in, you know, you've been fishing. You know, it's the same as fishing commercially is the same as almost the same expectation as when you throw a single line out in the water. And when you reel that line in, you're hoping that there's a fish on the end of it. Maybe felt a little bite. And when you draw nets in, I remember with Jim, you're always looking to see how many fish are in the net, what kind of fish are in the net. And cast after cast after cast, there was nothing. Nothing. All night they fished and caught nothing. When the morning light came, they saw a figure, the figure of a man, standing on the shore. And the next thing they knew, that man hollered to them from the shore, "You fellas have anything to eat?" They said, "No." "Cast your net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find." What in the world? Who is this? "We've been fishing all night. And here this man comes and tells us to cast it on the right side." But there was something in that voice. There was something in the authority with which that voice spake. Because never man spake like Jesus spake. And you know what? The hearts of those disciples said, "Okay, let's throw it over." And they threw the net over on the other side of the boat. And you know what happened? The nets were filled. There was 153 great fish in those nets. And that's when John said to Peter, he said, "Pete, that's the Lord. We've seen this before." Because it had happened before. "We've seen this before." And you remember Peter gathered his coat on, he's out there fishing probably with no shirt on, and he gathered his coat on and he swam to the shore to get to the shore, and he goes to Jesus, and here come the other disciples dragging the net to the shore. And I want you to see in verse number 9, we didn't read this with Brother Hall just about Brother Mick a minute ago, but I want you to look at verse number 9. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread." Where had they been all night? What had they been looking for all night? And the Lord already had what they were looking for. Already had it. They've been out there all night. Nothing. Walk up on the shore, there's a fish cooking. The fish is cooking. It's not just sitting there flopping around. It's already been skinned. It couldn't have been a catfish. They were Jews. Unclean fish. Had to be some kind of clean fish. There was already skinned and already frying on the pan, the coals on the fire. And I know this is in the Greek. You have to really dissect it and exegete it. But it was probably, you know, an inch thick of grease. And probably been rolled in crackers and all that stuff, you know. And deep fried, amen. And it wasn't any of this baked stuff or broiled stuff. It was probably deep fried. Well, that's what it said. Coals of fire. I mean, it's in the Greek there. You can read it, amen. The fish laid. I was reading this little story the other day. Well, some weeks ago now, some months ago. And how many times do you read it, folks? And the Bible is just, this is an inexhaustible well. You read it and read it and read it, and it's just like, oh, mercy. And for the first time, that jumped off the pages at me. Jesus already had what they were looking for. They'd been toiling all night. They had caught nothing while Jesus had the fish on the fire, cooking. He had everything they were looking for. Now, here's my point. They started out following Jesus. They followed Him for 3.5 years. Things had gotten rough. Things had gotten a little uncomfortable. Things had gotten quite unpopular. But forsaking Jesus was not the answer. It was not the answer. And Peter threw in the towel. And when he said, I go fishing, he wasn't talking about going out to the Sea of Galilee, throwing a line or two, and trying to catch enough fish. He said, I'm done. This is too much for me. The expectations are too great. I've been a personal failure. And I can't do this. And so back to the Sea of Galilee he goes. And out there in that sea, after fishing all night, he catches nothing. He comes to the shore, and Jesus already has what he was looking for. Folks, listen, this is not an accidental story. This is not just something thrown in to fill up the Bible. Look, you and I, each one of us, come to places in our Christian walk where we are just, you know, ready to throw in the towel. I'm done with it. The expectations are too high. There's disappointments. It's a little uncomfortable. It's becoming increasingly unpopular to follow the Lord Jesus. And I am looking for something that's satisfying and fulfilling and something that will bring me great contentment and something that will make my life mean something. And so you know what? I've tried this and I'm going back to fishing. And I'll promise you, friend, if you and I ever stop following the Lord Jesus and go looking for what we think we want and what we think we need in the world, we're going to do just like Peter and those 6 other disciples. We're going to fish for years and catch nothing. And the whole time, Jesus has what we're looking for. Now, earlier this year, I think it might have been even that one Sunday at the end of January or February where we had the snow and our crowd was down. We didn't run the buses and we only had maybe, I don't know, was it 100 people here, maybe 75 or so folks make it to church. And I preached on that story about the little lad who gave his lunch to Jesus. And I encouraged us, you know, give your life to Christ. It was an old theme. I mean, how many times have you heard that? Give your life, not for salvation, but for surrender. For surrender. And I even use the illustration of the 2 keys at the church building here. And the submaster key and the grandmaster key. And the submaster key gets you in almost every room in this building. But the grandmaster key gives you access to every room in this building. And what Jesus wants from you and me is not the submaster key. Jesus wants the grandmaster key. Just this morning after church, a young adult in the church came up to me and gave a testimony about how they had just kept some things back from God for 13 or 14 years. And just said recently through a message that they heard, an illustration in the message, that they had finally decided to deal with it and had given that which they had kind of kept in reserve for 13, 14 years, kind of kept a little area of their life off limits to God. God, I'll give you this, and I'll give you this, and I'll give you this, and I'll give you this, but I'm not going to, this is going to be for me. And after that many years, the Spirit of God finally brought it to light, and there was a complete surrender in the young adult's heart, and they testified about how wonderful it's been and how victorious they've had. Things have been since they gave God the grandmaster key. Here is the total key to total surrender. Here's the grandmaster key to my life. Every room is yours. Access to every room. Now, I preached about that a few months ago. But I want to ask you a question. How many people do that? How many people sincerely surrender to the Lord, but then along comes a few setbacks, like the preacher said tonight, the missionary said tonight, problems come, a few difficulties, a few frustrations, a few disappointments, things just don't turn out the way that we thought they would turn out, and the temptation comes to all of us to go fishing. To go fishing. This business of Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and teaching a class, and maybe having devotions at home. You know, I think it is just more than I can handle, and I'm not very good at it, and I got more failures than I have successes. And you know what? Maybe I'm just gonna pursue something else for a while. Maybe I'll become one of those 11 o'clock Christians. We just go to church one service and don't do anything but just fill a pew. I go fishing. But listen, friend, apart from Jesus Christ, apart from following Him, they caught nothing. And apart from following Jesus Christ, you and I will catch nothing. Jesus has what you're looking for. He already has it. Why would you go out and look in something that is dead, in something that has no life, in something that has no eternal value? Why would you go out looking for something where you won't find it when the Savior already has what you're looking for? You stick with Christ. You stick with Jesus. You follow Him through your successes and your failures. You follow Him through the mountaintops and through the valleys. And He's right. A lot of times the valleys are just vestibules to great mountaintop experiences. But you don't forsake Him. You follow Him. You don't go looking for what He's already got. You find it where He is. Now I want you to have to see this by eyes of faith. And I want to say this tonight, that this did it for Peter. From this point on, from John 21 forward, you and I never read about Peter faltering again. He's in lock, stock, and barrel. He is there, brother. He's there on the day of Pentecost. He's there trying to fill that vacated apostles' position that Judas left when he hanged himself. Peter is on the cutting edge. He is involved in everything. His shadow passing over people who are sick heals them. He's one of the three pillars of the church. He takes the gospel to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 to Cornelius. And right here is where Peter came to that point in his life where he basically did throw in the towel, and Jesus went and brought him back and said, "Peter, everything you're looking for, I already have. There it is. I've already got it." It was more than just fish. It was Jesus teaching Peter a lesson. And this did it for Peter. He was in, and he never went looking for anything else. So I just say this to you tonight, church, and we're done. When you think about going fishing, when you think about walking away, when you think about forsaking Jesus, because it's not easy, and it's not comfortable, and it's not popular, etc., 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 when you walk away, what are you going looking for? And whatever it is you're looking for, He's already got it. He's already got it. Stick with the Lord. This is not something that is just a random, a weird story that just happened to Peter. I believe with all of my heart that this is an experience that God's people face in life. Good people. Faithful people. Who just come to the place where they say, "You know what? That's it. I'm done." And they throw in the towel and go in search of something and fish all night and catch nothing when the whole time Jesus has it. Stick with the Savior. You follow the Lord. Don't forsake Him. Don't spend your time the rest of your life going out into the world looking for things that you think are there. He's already got it cooking on the fire. Are you ready? That's it. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, I believe that's what You wanted me to say tonight. Because I'm talking to a good group of people here on Sunday night, very faithful. But Lord, there are seats tonight in this church that used to be occupied that are no longer occupied because somebody just gave up the towel, gave it up, threw in the towel and said, "That's it." For whatever reason, God, would You please help the folk here tonight? Would You help me? Would You help all of us? Jesus has what we're looking for. He's already got it. It's on the fire. It's ready for us. Help us not to waste time in a futile effort trying to find in the world that which we think we need and want when Jesus has it all. Help us to follow faithfully through the valleys and over the mountains, through the successes and through the failures. Help us to stick with Christ. That's my prayer tonight.